Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this, our last broadcast of 2020. What a year it was. How many would just like to forget about this past year? A few more days remaining until New Year's Eve, but then we'll be starting 2021. And I can't imagine it could be worse than this past year, but we never know. We could be in for some rough times. There's a lot of things that are still unresolved. The election, the financial problems, the debt, the issues we have with other countries, especially China. And we just have to take care of today's problems. Remember, that's the attitude, not to worry, but to have faith. And to take care of today's problems. You never know what each day will bring. So say your prayers and do your best. Ask God for guidance. He will never let you down. So anyway, I want to welcome you to the show. I hope you've had a good 2 weeks since we talked. I hope you've had a good Christmas, got everything you wanted. I suppose a lot of people were shopping online this year because of the pandemic. Some call the plandemic and even the scamdemic. What do you think it was? You want to call in and let me know what you think this coronavirus is all about. I'm going to be giving you the statistics shortly, but it's still with us, and we do have a vaccine that I'm going to talk about also that hopefully will give us some relief and solve some of this this nightmare. So anyway, the temperature at airtime is 31 degrees, and we had one big snowstorm since we last met on around December the 16th, and it's the only storm we have in. We've had some rain recently, and it's pretty much all washed away now. I know they are getting snow in other places, so if you want to call in and you're in one of those places, let us know how you're surviving the weather conditions. In the winter, we tend to have a rougher time, it seems, and more and more this year, I think, than ever before. I wonder how the skiers are going to be doing in this kind of an environment. So, let me give you the call-in number. It's 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, just give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from. And if you're outside of the country, what country and city you're calling from. I went to a big rally yesterday in Governor Charlie Baker's hometown of Swampscott, Massachusetts, we have a lot of fun with the name of that town, Swamp Scott, as we are all trying to drain the swamp. And maybe the last part of it is the swamp being drained by Scott Lively, who ran against Governor Baker in 2018, and we should have, I think we'd have a lot different state and even country if Scott Lively had defeated Baker in 2018. But he had a lot of forces, powerful forces in the political world that were aligned against him. And he had plenty of people power, but he didn't have the political power of the establishment, nor the funds that are needed to wage an effective campaign against an established person like Charles Lie Baker. But I was at a rally in Swampscott. It is not far from his home, right on the ocean there. Swampscott is a town in north of Boston in Massachusetts, and it's a beautiful town. But I went there with a friend, and we were having a rally for Trump and to help the reporter, Diana Ploss, who has a radio show. I'm going to tell you about her. She's a heroine in fighting the problems that we have with the political issues that we believe we're facing that are also involved in the election fraud and all kinds of problems that I think we that are attuned to events with some kind of critical thinking can see the nature of not wholesome for our country. But her name is Diana Ploss, D-I-A-N-N-A, Ploss, P-L-O-S-S. And she has a website, dianaploss.com. I recommend that you go there. You can look at the video of a rally yesterday when we were confronted again, as she has been for about 36, 37 weeks in a row. She goes every Saturday with her supporters and others that show up like we did. We drove up there from Boston. It's only about 12 miles, I believe, or so. It's about a half-hour drive from Boston. So we went there to help her, and that was quite a sight to be seen, and a horror show ensued as the Black Lives Matter crowd, activists, terrorists, whatever you want to call them, they were there, and they outnumbered us by about 5-1, I would say, and we held our own. We didn't resort to the tactics that they used. It's basically the Saul Alinsky playbook of the Marxists, and they use intimidation without getting into physical violence, but they use screaming tactics, disruptive tactics, provocations, trying to get you to react, and we did not fall into that trap, and I think we won the day. Primarily, Diana was the target because she's been there relentlessly. This was my first time, and we should have had many more. I tried to round up many more, but again, it was the day after Christmas, and it's pretty hard to do that. So you can go onto her website and find the video. It runs for about 2 hours. It's basically screaming and foul language and intimidation, where they were trying to get Diana to call it quits, basically. And she's not going to. She's already planning on going there next Saturday. That would be on, is that New Year's Eve? Or when is New Year's Eve this year? Let's see. No, it's the day before. No, it's the day after New Year's Day, so it's on January the 2nd. So check her out and help her out. She has a way you could send her some money. And she can use a word of encouragement, you know, send her a little email. I think she has a contact page. Just say, I saw your video and we're behind you 100%. Again, it's dianaploss.com. DianaPLOSS.com. All right, let me give you the latest on the coronavirus pandemic. It's kind of getting to be a never-ending story and repetitious results. They seem to be the same every 2 weeks. They go up by approximately the same amounts. But anyway, on the global scale, the total infected is 81 million now, 110,238. 2 weeks ago was 72,000. So it's up a little less than 10 million, from 72 million to 81 million. The active cases, 22,075,618. The number of deaths globally is 1,771,170. That's up from 1,617,509, or about 150,000 or so. And the recovered is always a big figure, 57,263,450. And that was up from about 7 million from 2 weeks ago. On the U.S. figures, USA, total infected 19,555,285, up from 16,679,427, or about 3 million. And the active cases, 7,732,363. And the deaths, 340,952, and that was 305,957, or about 5,000 more. He recovered in the USA is 11,481,970. So a very large amount of those infected end up being recovered. And there's been a lot of talk of how they do this, these counts, as to whether they're truly counting the cases that are related to the COVID-19, or are they adding non-COVID-19 figures in there, such as a death that wasn't from COVID, but it gets attributed to COVID for whatever reasons that they may have, either intentionally or accidentally. But we're suspect of these numbers. Basically, we're very concerned about the lockdowns and the effects that it's having on our economy. As we've heard many times, that on some of these issues, that the cure can be worse than the disease, because the financial implications of a lockdown and whether somebody can feed their families or they resort to alcoholism and other problems and end up being worse off than that which they might have if they contracted the virus, as most of the ones that do seem to recover. So there's 18 countries now that have over a million cases, led, of course, by the United States with almost 20 million, probably go over 20 million pretty soon, this week probably, maybe even today. Sunday night, but maybe this week definitely we'll go over 20 million cases of infections. And then we have the question about China, how it has so few cases. I think it's like 80th on the number of countries. There are 80 countries that have more infections than China does, and yet China is the second, if not the first, country with the highest population, along with India, of over a billion people. So what's going on there? I still haven't got a good answer on that. Whether they're just they're good at the procedures they use, and if they are, why aren't these procedures being used in our country and in other countries? Unless it's maybe they're they're not reporting all of the problems, because they have been known to be a very secretive society over there in Asia. So we have also on this pandemic, we have two vaccines that received the FDA approval, and they are holding out a lot of hope for people. Those are the vaccines from Pfizer/BioNTech. What is it called? BioNTech. Pfizer is a U.S. company, a large drug company, and BioNTech is a European country. I guess they combined to come up with a vaccine. The other company is Moderna. So these have been approved, and doses have been sent out. Millions of doses are going out, primarily to the people in the healthcare field, where they are particularly at risk, since they're contacting the people with the virus, and they need the vaccines, especially if they're effective. They are being given a high priority under the Warp Speed project of President Trump. The other groups would be the people out of in the higher age groups, and those that have weakened immune systems, people in nursing homes, etc., would be also receiving the vaccines first. I did see that some high-profile figures received the vaccines, and one was Vice President Trump, another was Dr. Fauci, and several others. I think House Speaker Pelosi also received it. So we'll see. Hopefully, this will be the cure, but there's also some side effects that are creating a lot of concern. There was one, if the vaccine apparently can be negative for some people with allergies. There was one nurse, young nurse, that passed out while she was speaking at a podium, and she passed out from after having received the inoculation. So let's pray that this vaccine is effective. There may be others coming out. Apparently, it's going to be at no cost, so each person has to decide what to do on whether they are ready to go down that road. Now, I want to get on to the election, and the president is continuing to not concede the election to so-called president-elect Biden, which he is not president until he's sworn in on January 20th, but he hasn't even received the Electoral College vote yet, which is coming up on January the 6th. That's a big date, and there's a big march being planned for Washington, D.C. for the Patriots that still believe the election was fraudulent. And they have not been able to get the courts to hear any of the cases or look at the evidence. And this is really a disaster for our judicial system. And when the Supreme Court of the United States elected to not take the Texas lawsuit on the issues of how the fraudulent voting in certain states caused their state and other states, but theirs in particular, since it was the Texas Attorney General, that he was impacted by the illegal, what they believe is illegal activities of the other states, especially Pennsylvania is one in particular, but possibly all of them. I haven't read the case, but the Supreme Court has decided not to hear it on the grounds that there was not substantial standing, and I'm not a lawyer, but I think they have failed in their obligation by doing that. But anyway, I want to play a little clip of President Trump talking about the issues of voting fraud. He gave a big speech recently. You might have heard it, but let's see if I can find it here and let's see what he has to say. He certainly is defiant in this regard, as he should be if he doesn't believe that the election was fair. Here we go.
Maybe the most important speech I've ever made. I want to provide an update on our ongoing efforts to expose the tremendous voter fraud and irregularities which took place during the ridiculously long November 3rd election. We used to have what was called Election Day. Now we have election days, weeks and months, and lots of bad things happened during this ridiculous period of time, especially when you have to prove almost nothing to exercise our greatest privilege, the right to vote. As president, I have no higher duty than to defend the laws and the Constitution of the United States. That is why I am determined to protect our election system, which is now under coordinated assault and siege. For months leading up to the presidential election, we were warned that we should not declare a premature victory. We were told repeatedly that it would take weeks, if not months, to determine the winner, to count the absentee ballots, and to verify the results. My opponent was told to stay away from the election. Don't campaign. We don't need you. We've got it. This election is done. In fact, they were acting like they already knew what the outcome was going to be. They had it covered, and perhaps they did, very sadly for our country. It was all very, very strange. Within days after the election, we witnessed an orchestrated effort to anoint a winner, even while many key states were still being counted. The constitutional process must be allowed to continue. We are going to defend the honesty of the vote by ensuring that every legal ballot is counted and that no illegal ballot is counted. This is not just about honoring the votes of 74 million Americans who voted for me. It's about ensuring that Americans can have faith in this election and in all future elections. Today I will detail some of the shocking irregularities, abuses, and fraud that have been revealed in recent weeks. But before laying out just a small portion of the evidence we have uncovered, and we have so much evidence, I want to explain the corrupt mail-in balloting scheme that Democrats systematically put into place that allowed voting to be altered, especially in swing states, which they had to win. They just didn't know that it was going to be that tough because we were leading in every swing state by so much, far greater than they ever thought possible. While it has long been understood that the Democrat political machine engages in voter fraud from Detroit to Philadelphia to Milwaukee, Atlanta, so many other places, what changed this year was the Democrat Party's relentless push to print and mail out tens of millions of ballots sent to unknown recipients with virtually no safeguards of any kind. This allowed fraud and abuse to occur on a scale never seen before. Using the pandemic as a pretext, Democrat politicians and judges drastically changed election procedures just months and in some cases weeks before the election on the 3rd of November. Very rarely were legislatures involved, and constitutionally they had to be involved. But very, very rarely, and you'll see that as we continue to file our suits, it's constitutionally absolutely incorrect what took place, even from a legal standpoint. Many states such as Nevada and California sent millions of live ballots to every person on their voter rolls, whether those individuals had requested ballots or not, whether they were dead or alive. They got ballots. Other states such as Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin instituted universal absentee balloting right in the middle of an election year, sending absentee ballot request forms to all voters on all rolls. It didn't matter who they were. This colossal expansion of mail-in voting opened the floodgates to massive fraud. It's a widely known fact that the voting rolls are packed with people who are not lawfully eligible to vote, including those who are deceased, have moved out of their state, and even are non-citizens of our country. Beyond this, the records are riddled with errors, wrong addresses, duplicate entries, and many other issues. This is not disputed. It has never been disputed. Dozens of counties in the key swing states have more registered voters on the rolls than they have voting age citizens, including 67 counties in Michigan. All of this is evidence. In Wisconsin, the state's Board of Elections could not confirm the residency of more than 100,000 people, but repeatedly refused to remove those names from its voter rolls before the election. They knew why, nobody else did. I knew why. They're illegal voters. It is a travesty that in the year 2020, we do not have any means of verifying the eligibility of those who cast ballots in an election, and such an important election it is, or determining who they are, whether they live in the state, or whether they are even American citizens. We have no idea.
Yes, you are so right, Mr. President. We have no idea about what the real results of the 2020 election was. I personally think those states where there is clear problems should do a revote under tighter procedures so that we can be satisfied that we, the people, are getting our will enacted. So anyway, that goes on. It's a very good speech, very clear, precise, and clear as far as the issues. So I would encourage you to look it up. Trump gives most important speech, charges elections, election is rigged. So anyway, I'd like to play more, but I'm running out of time. I want to say that I wanted to tell you about the commission by Jimmy Carter and James Baker on voting. They had they provided a recommendation, 7 recommendations in 2005, 15 years ago, of how to do elections more properly. And if they had done those, we wouldn't have had this problem. But they provided 7 recommendations, and they weren't enacted. And yet we paid for the report. You can look it up. Read about it. I might talk about it on another program. But the president remains defiant, and he's urging the proper members of the House and Senate to do everything they can when the Electoral College meets on January 6th in Washington, and there's going to be a huge rally to support the president, I believe, on that day, and hopefully there'll be challenges expected. Well, I'm running out of time. I just wanted to say that the Dow closed at 30,199.87. It was up since 2 weeks ago. The NASDAQ at 12,804.73, also up, and the S&P was up at 3,703.06. Gold closed at 18,84.70. That was up, and silver at $25.77, and that was up. And Bitcoin is skyrocketing. It's now over 26,000 for one Bitcoin. The president has signed the COVID-19 relief bill, in which one of the features is that each person will get $600 stimulus payment, and each couple will get $1,200 if they qualify. The checks should be coming out shortly. the president wanted to have more money, but eventually he decided for various reasons that he would sign this bill to get it going. The Real Clear Politics' latest approval and disapproval rates for the president from 12-1 to 12-22, 2020. The approval is at 43.9. That's down a little, about a point from 2 weeks ago. His disapproval is at 53.1, and that's up a little from 2 weeks ago. So we have a lot coming up. Keep praying for the president and for yourself, your family. Be safe. We'll be back in the new year. So God bless you all. And God bless America. Good night, everyone. Welcome back, everyone, and this is Bostonian, host of the last Money Show of 2020. Our next show will be on Blog Talk Radio on January 10th. That's my birthday, by the way, 2021. And I hope you'll join us. It's going to be a wild year again, I believe, with hopefully we'll the virus will be on the decline with the vaccine, and hopefully the good weather will be on its way after we get into the middle of winter. And the tax season, too, will be underway. I'm just in the business that I'm in. I'm kind of downsizing it right now and not promoting it as I would in the past. I think that our tax system is a national disgrace. And I personally don't want to be part of it, but I have to help the clients that have been with me for years and years, and any new clients I may not decide to take them on. I do have a friend who's a CPA who would be willing to handle any new ones that I do not want to do. So we are going to end the show with a broadcast of Scott Lively, who I played quite a bit throughout 2020. He's a wonderful writer and speaker, and is such clarity of thought, and his principles are high level. They're not selfish or motivated by anything but what is good and what God would want people to be like. I have not met anyone quite like him, and I worked for him when he ran for governor, and he's going to stay involved. He's going to be starting a new part of his ministry called the Swamp Rangers, where he's going to be a people-oriented group that really drains the swamp, and especially if the president stays in office for another 4 years. We have still a lot of work to do either way. whether he stays in or he does not. And of course, it's also important, another election's coming up, which I didn't mention in the live portion of the show, which is the elections, the runoff elections in Georgia between Kelly, Senator Kelly Loeffler and Raphael Warnock and David Perdue and Ossoff. I don't know his first name, but Democrat's name is Ossoff. And we need to get the Republicans in to maintain control over the Senate. Even though a lot of Republicans have disappointed us, we know the Democrats have pretty much adopted the Marxist and one world viewpoint and trampling on our sovereignty, which we don't want. We want to remain a sovereign country, one nation under God. So we have to send some money down to Georgia to those two Republican candidates before the January 5th runoff elections. And hopefully by the time we go to Washington the next day on January 6th, we'll have good news on that front. But by January 20th, it'll be time to install, inaugurate a president. And we're praying that it will be four more years of Donald J. Trump. So let me get this clip from Dr. Lively. He's, as they say, a wonderful writer and speaker. He's a pastor and an attorney. And you need to stay in touch with him and read his articles and listen to his, watch and listen to his videos. And I think you'll be well served. This one, the title is Obama, Scott Lively on Obama, John Roberts, and the Mystery of Lawlessness. It's only about 8 minutes or so. So let's go. Here he is, Dr. Scott Lively.
Good morning. This is Dr. Scott Lively, and today I'm at a hotel room outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'm creating a video version of my most recent article, Obama, John Roberts, and the Mystery of Lawlessness. It was recently, falsely, recorded that in a closed-door meeting of the nine justices of the Supreme Court about the Texas lawsuit against election fraud, Chief Justice John Roberts was heard screaming profanities about President Trump and refusing to consider the Trump-favoring precedent of Bush versus Gore as he browbeat the group into rejecting the case. His justification, as supposedly overheard by a whistleblowing staffer in the outer room, was that the Bush-Gore contest was not attended by rioting, while this one is. While this story was factually false, it rings true emotionally. And as a theory about John Roberts' psychological profile seems highly plausible, enough so that this now revised article I wrote while thinking it was true should be published. When I first heard the story, two thoughts immediately came to my mind. First was the reminder of Benjamin Franklin's famous axiom, well, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, end quote. The second was that our Supreme Court was granting a heckler's veto of the U.S. Constitution itself to Antifa fascists, and even the strongest conservatives on the court were willing to allow it, with only tepid dissent from our anchormen Thomas and Alito. Those are valid reactions, regardless of the court's motives. Then, when I learned the factually true report that Attorney Lynn Wood was calling for Roberts' resignation and suggesting that the Chief Justice was the John Roberts, seen on uber-pedophile Jeffrey Epstein's Orgy Island in the company of Bill Clinton, the mystery of Roberts' history suddenly seemed to make sense. I remember how Roberts contorted himself into a pretzel to save Obamacare with an obviously fabricated pretext, and all the subsequent court rulings where he sided with the liberals amidst constant rumoring that Obama must have something on him. As I contemplated this relative to the four-year anti-Trump rolling coup in which all the key players have been increasingly exposed for their links to homegrown Marxism and or allegiance to the Chinese Communist Party, I was reminded of the biblical prophecy of Hebrews 12:18-29, often paraphrased, quote, "Everything that can be shaken will be shaken," end quote. That describes today's emerging civil war between patriotic constitutionalists and a vast web of criminal co-conspirators infesting our key institutions, led, I believe, by Obama. As the MAGA movement gathers on the battlefield for a final showdown of good and evil that will decide the fate of America, everything that can be shaken is being shaken. There are striking parallels between these current events and the prophecy of 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind, as if the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they might all be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, end quote. In 1947, the U.S. Supreme Court did in fact set itself, quote, above all that is called God or that is worshipped, end quote, in the case of Everson versus Board of Education, by making itself the arbiter over the claims of all religions and requiring government to treat them all equally. That ended America's legal status as, quote, one nation under God, end quote, and replaced it with secular humanism, the religion of Marxism. In June 1961, the same swing justice, Hugo Black, wrote the majority opinion in Torcaso v. Watkins, defining atheism as a religion equal to belief in God, empowering the Marxists to use the Equal Protection Clause to purge Christianity from public life, starting with school prayer in 1963. Importantly, this occurred between May 1945 and August 1961, while the United States, the dominant Allied power, had de facto legal possession of the Pergamum Altar, the literal seat of Satan of Revelation chapter 2, and conquered Germany until the Berlin Wall made it the property of the Soviet Union in August of 1961. Since then, the mystery of lawlessness in America has so fully matured that unrighteous deception has ensnared millions of Americans in a strong delusion, and the total conquest of our nation by the agents of the Father of Lies, John 8:44, is prevented only by, quote, he who now restrains until he is taken out of the way, end quote. That's unarguably Trump in today's political context, even if the prophecy means something else. And if Trump, the last political barrier to the Marxist plot to fundamentally transform America, is taken out of the way, who do we all then expect to emerge as the mastermind of the campaign of lawlessness? Obama, whom many, including me, have named an antichrist, if not necessarily the antichrist, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Have you been asking yourself how it is possible that so many people in power can be this corrupt? That is the mystery of lawlessness. Have you been tempted to deny the obvious conspiracy in fact of the elites and dismiss it as a conspiracy theory because you want so much for it not to be true? That is the lure of unrighteous self-deception that you must work to overcome. Have you noticed how so many people we thought were Christians seem to have lost their biblical worldview? That is the falling away, which results from surrendering to the deceivers. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. In the midst of this, we should hold fast to a strong hope that God will extend our reprieve by keeping Donald Trump in office. But more importantly, we should be sure that our faith in Christ remains unshakable, regardless of which way this goes. That's my article for this morning. God bless you, and I'll talk with you next time.
Okay, well, that was a wonderful video and words of wisdom from Dr. Scott Lively. That's about it for the show. I think we may already be off the air, but I'm going to wish you all a Happy New Year. See you on my birthday, January 10th, 2021. And I'll end with the song that I have been ending with for some time now, and I'm sure you appreciate. Good night, everyone. God bless you, and...